How Google Works. Authors, Eric Schmidt and Jonathan Rosenberg. Just go talk to the engineers. When Sergey Brin and Larry Page founded Google in 1998, they had no formal business training or experience. They considered this an advantage, not a liability. As the company grew, the founders ran it on a few simple principles, first and foremost of which was to focus on the user. They believed that if they created great services, they could figure out the money stuff later. If all they did was create the world's best search engine, they would be very successful. Their plan was equally simple. Hire as many talented software engineers as possible, and give them freedom. They felt that attracting and leading the very best engineers was the only way for Google to thrive and achieve its lofty ambitions. The smart creative. When we contrast the traditional knowledge worker with the engineers and other talented people who have worked at Google over the past decade plus, we see that Googlers represent a quite different type of employee. They're a new kind of employee, a type we call a smart creative, and they are key to achieving success in the internet century. Who exactly is smart creative? He has deep technical knowledge in how to use the tools of his trade and plenty of hands-on experience. He's analytical smart, business smart, user creative, risky creative, self-directed creative, and he's communicative creative. Not every smart creative has all these characteristics. In fact, few of them do. But they almost possess business savvy, technical knowledge, creative energy, and a hands-on approach to getting things done. Bet on technical insights, not market research. There are a lot of factors that make Google Search so much better than the competition when it launched. But the heart of the product's advantage consisted of this single technical insight about using the web's link structure as a roadmap to the best answer. Pick an innovative, successful Google product, and you're likely to find at least one significant technical insight behind it. YouTube Content ID, for example, creates a unique data representation for every audio and video clip and matches that fingerprint against a global rights database, thereby giving content rights owners the ability to find their content on YouTube. Hiring is the most important thing. From the outset, Google's founders understood that to consistently hire the best people possible, the model to follow wasn't that of corporate America, but that of academia. Universities usually don't lay professors off, so they invest a lot of time in getting faculty hiring and promotion right, normally using committees. This is why we believe that hiring should be peer-based, not hierarchical, with decisions made by committees, and it should be focused on bringing the best people into the company, even if their experience might not match one of the open roles. The skill of interviewing. Conducting a good interview requires preparation. This is true regardless of whether you're a senior executive or a fresh associate. Being a good interviewer requires understanding the role, reading the resume, and most important, considering your questions. Google implemented a trusted interviewer program, an elite team of people who were actually good at interviewing and liked to do it. And they got to do the bulk of the work. Product managers, who wanted to be in the program, had to go through interview training and shadow a minimum of 4 interviewers as they met with candidates. Once in the program, they were scored on a variety of performance metrics, including how many interviews they conducted, reliability, and quality on promptness of their feedback. Every meeting needs an owner. People complain about meetings and how they are a great waste of time. But in fact, a well-run meeting is a great thing. Computer scientists hate inefficiency. So over the years, Eric Schmidt's team developed a series of effective rules for meetings. Meetings should have a single decision maker or owner. Include someone more senior as the decision maker. The decision maker should be hands-on. He or she should call the meeting, ensure that content is good, set the objectives, determine the participants, and share the agenda at least 24 hours in advance. Even if a meeting is not a decision-making meeting, it should have a clear owner. Any meeting should have a purpose. Meetings should be manageable in size, no more than 8 people, 10 at a stretch. Attendance at meetings is not a badge of importance. If you aren't needed, leave, or better yet, excuse yourself ahead of time. Timekeeping matters. If you attend the meeting, attend the meeting. Multitasking doesn't work. The power of 20% time. In the summer of 2004, a Google engineer named Kevin Gibbs came up with an idea. He described it as a search system to perform real-time completion against all URLs in our repository and all historical Google search queries, with results sorted by their overall popularity. In English, this means that Google would try to anticipate what your query was and suggest ways to complete it. Working in his spare time, Kevin developed a prototype and sent a description of his incipient project to an email list for people who wanted to share new ideas. The note included a link to his prototype, where people could enter queries into Google Search and watch the system perform the real-time completion. This feature, now called Google Suggest, is why when you type "we," Google suggests that you are looking for the weather forecast and provides you with a drop-down menu to click on the full query without needing to type the whole thing out yourself. This is the power of 20% time, the Google program whereby engineers can spend 20% of their time working on whatever they choose. 20% time has spawned a host of great products: Google Now, Google News, transit information on Google Maps, and many more. But it is generally misunderstood. It's not about time, it's about freedom. Fail well. On the flip side is Google Wave, which launched with the fanfare in 2009. Wave is the creation of a small team of engineers who took their 20% time to explore the question, what would email be like if it were invented today? They eventually produced a very compelling prototype that wowed the executive team. Wave was a technological marvel, but a major flop. It failed quickly. Google did not pour good money after bad. It failed without anyone being stigmatized. No one on the Wave team lost their jobs. And in fact, most of them were highly recruited within Google after the project shut down, precisely because they had worked on something that had pushed the boundaries. And it failed after having created a lot of valuable technology. Pieces of the Wave platform migrated to Google Plus and Gmail. As a failure, Wave failed well. Imagine the unimaginable. There's no doubt that the disruption of once robust businesses and the resulting economic impact will be painful and confusing in the near term. So here's some advice about how to weather the changes ahead and how to think about them. First, deliver a strategy that takes advantage of platforms to consistently deliver great products. Second, use that strategy as a foundation to attract a team of smart creatives, then create an environment where they can succeed at a scale. Third, ask yourself, what could be true in 5 years? What thing is unimaginable when abiding by conventional wisdom is in fact imaginable? Is hiring at a top priority at the C-suite level? Among your stronger employees, how many see themselves at the company in 3 years? How many would leave for a 10% raise at another company? Do your decision-making processes lead to the best decisions or the most acceptable ones? How much freedom do your employees have? Are decisions on new ideas based on product excellence or profit? Who does better in the company? Information hoarders or routers? These are tough questions, and there are likely no obvious solutions to the problems they spotlight. But there certainly won't be solutions if the questions never get asked. Incumbents usually fail to understand how quickly they can be disrupted, but asking these questions can help them discover the reality.